Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu pierwszego.
Text 1. One summer, an elderly gentleman moved to a house in a peaceful street near a school. Then the school year began. Every day, three boys walked down the street, banging on every trash can they passed on their way. The man approached them and said, "I love what you're doing. I did the same when I was your age. I'll give each of you a dollar a day if you keep doing this." The kids were thrilled and continued to bang the trash cans on the street every day. After a few days, when the man met the boys again, he said, "I've had some unexpected expenses, so now I can only pay you 50 cents a day." The noisemakers weren't happy, but they accepted his offer. A few days later, the old man told them he had to lower their wages again. "Only 25 cents?" the boys exclaimed. "No way, we quit." And from that day on, the man could enjoy peace and quiet around his house again.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
One summer, an elderly gentleman moved to a house in a peaceful street near a school. Then the school year began. Every day, three boys walked down the street, banging on every trash can they passed on their way. The man approached them and said, "I love what you're doing. I did the same when I was your age. I'll give each of you a dollar a day if you keep doing this." The kids were thrilled and continued to bang the trash cans on the street every day. After a few days, when the man met the boys again, he said, "I've had some unexpected expenses, so now I can only pay you 50 cents a day." The noisemakers weren't happy, but they accepted his offer. A few days later, the old man told them he had to lower their wages again. "Only 25 cents?" the boys exclaimed. "No way, we quit." And from that day on, the man could enjoy peace and quiet around his house again.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu drugiego.
Text 2. Jane, people are reading fewer and fewer books, so how does your library keep its doors open?
When I noticed a significant drop in the number of users, I felt at a loss. I could either reduce our opening hours or close the library altogether. However, I knew that many library users would be shocked and upset if I had to give up. The only alternative was to create an online library offering digital versions of the books. And believe me, our regular users took to it. The comments they left on social media were a real morale booster for me. Also, I soon started getting more and more online loan requests. Now my library also offers a platform where ideas and views about books and art are exchanged.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Jane, people are reading fewer and fewer books, so how does your library keep its doors open?
When I noticed a significant drop in the number of users, I felt at a loss. I could either reduce our opening hours or close the library altogether. However, I knew that many library users would be shocked and upset if I had to give up. The only alternative was to create an online library offering digital versions of the books. And believe me, our regular users took to it. The comments they left on social media were a real morale booster for me. Also, I soon started getting more and more online loan requests. Now my library also offers a platform where ideas and views about books and art are exchanged.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu trzeciego.
Text 3. When I was in high school, my parents decided I should finally learn to cook for myself. When they were going out one evening, my dad said, "There's a pizza in the fridge." All I had to do was to follow the instructions, which were, pop it in the oven and set the timer. What could go wrong? However strange it may sound, while I was taking the pizza out of the oven, I didn't pay enough attention and it slipped out of my hands. It ended up falling face down onto the flame in the oven and caught fire. I immediately threw some water onto it to put the fire out, so nothing terrible happened. But that incident discouraged me from cooking for years. A decade later, I'm still living in New York, a city where the need to cook is basically non-existent, as at the push of a button you can have pizza, sushi, or any other type of food delivered to your doorstep. Still, my strong aversion to cooking became downright embarrassing as time went by. Plus, eating out with a bunch of friends every single night was not doing my finances any favours. So I tried to use apps which give demos of how to make easy meals, but it didn't work out for me. I felt I had to be taught how to cook by someone personally. That's why one of my New Year's resolutions was to enroll in a cooking course. I hoped it would strengthen my determination, and it did. Right at the beginning of January, I did some research into cooking courses available in my neighbourhood and signed up for one. I've been attending the classes for 2 months now, and I have discovered that I really enjoy making bread and cakes. The precision required for that is something much more relaxing than the improvisation that goes into other kinds of cooking. I only regret that I now have to pay to learn how to cook, although I could have learnt it for free from my dad, if only I'd wanted to. So, am I the next MasterChef? No. But I still hope I will be able to make a simple meal for my friends one day.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
When I was in high school, my parents decided I should finally learn to cook for myself. When they were going out one evening, my dad said, "There's a pizza in the fridge." All I had to do was to follow the instructions, which were, pop it in the oven and set the timer. What could go wrong? However strange it may sound, while I was taking the pizza out of the oven, I didn't pay enough attention and it slipped out of my hands. It ended up falling face down onto the flame in the oven and caught fire. I immediately threw some water onto it to put the fire out, so nothing terrible happened. But that incident discouraged me from cooking for years. A decade later, I'm still living in New York, a city where the need to cook is basically non-existent, as at the push of a button you can have pizza, sushi, or any other type of food delivered to your doorstep. Still, my strong aversion to cooking became downright embarrassing as time went by. Plus, eating out with a bunch of friends every single night was not doing my finances any favours. So I tried to use apps which give demos of how to make easy meals, but it didn't work out for me. I felt I had to be taught how to cook by someone personally. That's why one of my New Year's resolutions was to enroll in a cooking course. I hoped it would strengthen my determination, and it did. Right at the beginning of January, I did some research into cooking courses available in my neighbourhood and signed up for one. I've been attending the classes for 2 months now, and I have discovered that I really enjoy making bread and cakes. The precision required for that is something much more relaxing than the improvisation that goes into other kinds of cooking. I only regret that I now have to pay to learn how to cook, although I could have learnt it for free from my dad, if only I'd wanted to. So, am I the next MasterChef? No. But I still hope I will be able to make a simple meal for my friends one day.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
Being an undercover hotel inspector is something I truly enjoy. I always have my story all worked out in advance, but once when I was sent to review a farmhouse hotel, as soon as I showed up, the receptionist asked me if I had come for the event which was being held in the town. On impulse, I decided not to use the story I'd made up and spontaneously said yes, even though I didn't know what event it was. To my surprise, I was immediately shown to the hotel dining room, where I was seated at a large table with people who had come to take part in the event. It turned out that the event was a farm machinery and agricultural services show, so I had to pretend throughout the evening that I was a potential client.
Two. All my working life has revolved around hotels. I studied hospitality management and after graduation worked as a chef and a restaurant manager. Then, one day I spotted an advert for the position of undercover hotel inspector. It sounded perfect. There were 100 applicants, but my vast experience in the trade landed me the job. I've stayed in mansions and 5-star hotels in the world's biggest cities. But sometimes I'm sent to test out a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. And while the experience may not be luxurious, it does give me an opportunity to enjoy quiet walks in the countryside. Three.
My job involves inspecting hotel restaurants. It's not unusual for me to have 2 starters, 2 main courses and 2 desserts, and then call room service for a midnight snack. The food is sometimes horrible, but I have to try it anyway. I don't let anyone know who I am until I pay the bill after breakfast. Then there's usually a kind of nervous energy in the air. But my job is not about giving bad reviews. It's about giving objective feedback and exploring areas where there's room for improvement.
Four. A friend of mine is an undercover hotel inspector, and one day he told me his firm was recruiting. I thought, why not? And I applied. I was successful, and now I've been working as a hotel inspector for about 3 years. At the beginning, I wasn't sure that it was what I really wanted to do, but after some time I change my mind. My assessment starts the minute I arrive at the hotel. I begin with evaluating the check-in process. In the hotel restaurant, I'll even make a note of how long my water glass sits empty. The evaluation is as much about the staff as it is about the hotel itself. Five.
As an undercover hotel inspector, I have to be creative. Staff can sometimes be very inquisitive. They wonder, why has she come all by herself to an expensive resort like this? I always have a good story prepared. I frequently say that my friends just had a baby, so I'm in town visiting. Then, just in case they have any suspicions, I will, for example, ask the receptionist where I can purchase baby clothes. And in this way, I also test the staff's local knowledge, which is part of the hotel assessment.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1.
Being an undercover hotel inspector is something I truly enjoy. I always have my story all worked out in advance. But once, when I was sent to review a farmhouse hotel, as soon as I showed up, the receptionist asked me if I had come for the event which was being held in the town. On impulse, I decided not to use the story I'd made up and spontaneously said yes, even though I didn't know what event it was. To my surprise, I was immediately shown to the hotel dining room, where I was seated at a large table with people who had come to take part in the event. It turned out that the event was a farm machinery and agricultural services show, so I had to pretend throughout the evening that I was a potential client.
Two. All my working life has revolved around hotels. I studied hospitality management and after graduation worked as a chef and a restaurant manager. Then, one day I spotted an advert for the position of undercover hotel inspector. It sounded perfect. There were 100 applicants, but my vast experience in the trade landed me the job. I've stayed in mansions and 5-star hotels in the world's biggest cities. But sometimes I'm sent to test out a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. And while the experience may not be luxurious, it does give me an opportunity to enjoy quiet walks in the countryside. Three.
My job involves inspecting hotel restaurants. It's not unusual for me to have 2 starters, 2 main courses and 2 desserts, and then call room service for a midnight snack. The food is sometimes horrible, but I have to try it anyway. I don't let anyone know who I am until I pay the bill after breakfast. Then there's usually a kind of nervous energy in the air. But my job is not about giving bad reviews. It's about giving objective feedback and exploring areas where there's room for improvement.
Four. A friend of mine is an undercover hotel inspector, and one day he told me his firm was recruiting. I thought, why not? And I applied. I was successful, and now I've been working as a hotel inspector for about 3 years. At the beginning, I wasn't sure that it was what I really wanted to do, but after some time I changed my mind. My assessment starts the minute I arrive at the hotel. I begin with evaluating the check-in process. In the hotel restaurant, I'll even make a note of how long my water glass sits empty. The evaluation is as much about the staff as it is about the hotel itself. Five.
As an undercover hotel inspector, I have to be creative. Staff can sometimes be very inquisitive. They wonder, why has she come all by herself to an expensive resort like this? I always have a good story prepared. I frequently say that my friends just had a baby, so I'm in town visiting. Then, just in case they have any suspicions, I will, for example, ask the receptionist where I can purchase baby clothes. And in this way, I also test the staff's local knowledge, which is part of the hotel assessment.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
We've all caught ourselves feeling hungry while watching food commercials. However, you wouldn't want to try the actual on-screen food. Today I'm talking to Nick Owen, a producer of food commercials. Nick, how do you make food in advertisements look so delicious?
There are lots of methods. When you advertise milk on its own, for example, it's usually shown being poured into a glass and it always looks fresh. But if you add it to cornflakes, they absorb it and look unappetizing. So instead of using real milk, advertisers use glue. But not just any glue. Obviously, it must be white.
How about other dishes? When Thanksgiving comes, we often see roast turkeys advertised on TV that look absolutely mouth-watering.
Yes, but a film crew can't wait 6 hours for a turkey to roast, so the bird simply gets brushed with a mixture of browning sauce, yellow food coloring, and washing up liquid. This gives the same juicy look that you would get after roasting. It saves everybody a lot of time.
Now another one of my favourites, baked potatoes. They're always steaming in commercials, which makes them look very appetising.
That's another trick. Steaming food in advertising looks delicious, but in fact the potatoes aren't even hot. Usually wet cotton balls are put into a microwave and then skillfully hidden behind or inside potatoes. This creates a few minutes of steam for the commercial and makes viewers think that the potatoes have been freshly baked.
Are there any tricks of the trade for presenting desserts in commercials?
Ice cream is an interesting example. Real ice cream wouldn't last too long under hot studio lights, but mashed potatoes are camera ready all day long, so they are a perfect substitute. Viewers won't know the difference. If you want to advertise an ice cream dessert, you use mashed potatoes and replace the whipped cream with shaving foam, put pieces of fruit on top, and then use hairspray to make the dessert look shiny and fresh.
Well, Nick, I think I won't watch TV food commercials for a while. Thanks for talking to us.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
We've all caught ourselves feeling hungry while watching food commercials. However, you wouldn't want to try the actual on-screen food. Today I'm talking to Nick Owen, a producer of food commercials. Nick, how do you make food in advertisements look so delicious?
There are lots of methods. When you advertise milk on its own, for example, it's usually shown being poured into a glass, and it always looks fresh. But if you add it to cornflakes, they absorb it and look unappetizing. So instead of using real milk, advertisers use glue. But not just any glue. Obviously, it must be white.
How about other dishes? When Thanksgiving comes, we often see roast turkeys advertised on TV that look absolutely mouth-watering.
Yes, but a film crew can't wait 6 hours for a turkey to roast, so the bird simply gets brushed with a mixture of browning sauce, yellow food colouring, and washing up liquid. This gives the same juicy look that you would get after roasting. It saves everybody a lot of time.
Now another one of my favourites, baked potatoes. They're always steaming in commercials, which makes them look very appetising.
That's another trick. Steaming food in advertising looks delicious, but in fact the potatoes aren't even hot. Usually wet cotton balls are put into a microwave and then skillfully hidden behind or inside potatoes. This creates a few minutes of steam for the commercial and makes viewers think that the potatoes have been freshly baked.
Are there any tricks of the trade for presenting desserts in commercials?
Ice cream is an interesting example. Real ice cream wouldn't last too long under hot studio lights, but mashed potatoes are camera ready all day long, so they are a perfect substitute. Viewers won't know the difference. If you want to advertise an ice cream dessert, you use mashed potatoes and replace the whipped cream with shaving foam, put pieces of fruit on top, and then use hairspray to make the dessert look shiny and fresh.
Well, Nick, I think I won't watch TV food commercials for a while. Thanks for talking to us.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.